Good afternoon and welcome to the Weekly Property Show. It's 2 hours every week, every Sunday. We take a look at some of the news headline stories and welcome the experts to decipher the details for us, as well as encouraging you to join in the conversation. It's your opportunity to ask some of those burning property, real estate, legal and financial questions. And why not just air your opinion? Well, let me introduce our regular commentators who join me each week. Ludmila Yamalova, Managing Partner with Yamalova and Plefka Legal Consultants. Ludmila, great to have you back in the studio.
Great to be back.
How are you doing?
Very well, thank
busy,
you.
Busy,
busy. Sunday, indeed, yes.
What have you got for us this week?
Well, actually, in terms of news, the last week wasn't really that busy, but there's still a few interesting updates, and we definitely encourage our listeners to send us specific questions in light of the fact that the last week was fairly light week in terms of, you know, legal, kind of worthy legal updates. But there's an interesting study, and I think we're going to delve into it a little more today about the transparency index and sort of how Dubai's real estate market ranks on the transparency index. There's also an interesting story about Festival City launching freehold homes. There's an update on the island on the world up for sale again, and that sort of tallies up with a story on online auctions, especially as it relates to a full floor in Burj Khalifa. And that story in particular, I think, will be quite interesting because it's not an auction sort of concept as we understand it to mean in Dubai in terms of auctions administered by the land department. You know, this is online auction actually that's based in the U.S. And that story in particular will be quite interesting to discuss in terms of just real estate agents and practices and regulations of real estate agents in Dubai. And, you know, and that's sort of another story how DLD recently, Dubai Land Department, ARIRA, has fined a number of real estate agents.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was a big story last week,
and so one of the reasons why this online auction, you know, at least by some accounts, was so successful was because the seller here was having a very difficult time dealing with real estate agents. And so I think there's a whole sort of series of issues that we can talk about arising from those stories. There's also yet another update on Nakheel and how residents on the Palm that have been renting or living in Nakheel's properties, both Shoreline and Marina residents are now shunning away from renewing their contracts or wanting to invest with Nakheel, and that's obviously in light of the dispute related to the service fees.
Yeah.
There's also another story that's probably be quite interesting to a lot of our listeners that are involved in mortgage disputes, and that's one, the story about UAE banks violating blank check regulations.
Yes, I remember that. I saw that one.
In fact, and I think I brought actually the regulations themselves. Not this time, actually, 2 shows ago, but I do remember sort of in relevant parts, you know, some of the more interesting bits about it. But, you know, we can cover that a little further. And update on the visa renewal and tenancy contract.
Right.
There's
a lot to get through, as always. Thank you very much, Ludmila. And as Ludmila mentioned, any legal questions you have, why not text them in on 4001? And I know that she'll do her very best to answer as many as she can going into the programme. Well, let's also welcome Mike Small of VSM Consulting. He's back with more macroeconomic opinions and micro analysis. And Mike, it's been a bit of a big story going on over the weekend, hasn't it, and before?
Yeah, there's two huge stories, actually. It's not just the bankers being brought to book and everyone understanding what they've been doing for years and years and years without anyone knowing. It's also to do with the EU, because nothing's settled, and again, you're getting a lot of people relying on headlines. Don't rely on headlines. Headlines have no information in them. They're just there to catch your eye. Look underneath the surface. Nothing is settled. Merkel's given nothing away. She's a very, very clever lady.
I just thought, I mean, from a very sort of simple perspective, I just find it absolutely fascinating how a couple of words spoken by Angela Merkel regarding packages and et cetera can instantly affect the banks and the shares and the markets, basically. It's phenomenal.
The shares, just forget those as well. That's just short people. People were short going into this summit, believing that there wasn't going to be any good news. So all they had to do was cover themselves as we came out of a summit, and there was something that looked like it might possibly be good news. So there's people, and now you've got, as I've said to you before, Siobhan, we haven't got an investment market anymore. There are not investors out there. There are purely speculators. And what happens every time we get news is the whole lot either go one way or the other. And it's like people running across a boat. You know, the boat is tipping one way or the other, and one day it'll just tip over and everyone will be surprised.
Yeah, but we always have speculators. I think in every market you've always had speculators. And in some ways they're not all bad. I mean, they can actually drive markets.
We'll start to believe this we'll start to believe this liquidity argument that all brokers give for good reasons to have people in the market. No. When you've got the public in the depth they're in now, but with the lack of knowledge they've got, they react to headlines. So they're all one side of the boat or the other side of the boat. They're not thinking it through. When you have institutions in there, they think it through. You get two-way feed. We've now created a market that is so liquid, it's illiquid. I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but it's not. It is so liquid now that people all rush one way or the other. You haven't got a two-way market. And it's deadly. And the world just watches it go up three, down three, up three, down three. It's a nightmare. Sorry.
Okay, then.
The eternal optimist.
Yeah, that was the optimistic view. I've got another if you want one.
Well, Mike, we look forward to getting into a lot more detail with those stories. And we also must say that joining us around 12:30, just after the news, it's going to be a pleasure to welcome back to the studio Craig Plum of Jones Lang LaSalle. They've just brought out this report recently, which Ludmilla alluded to earlier, which is the transparency report. It's the real estate transparency back on track. Really interesting. I've got the whole thing in front of me here, and I'm going to ask you a question, Ludmilla and Mike, and also listeners. Which country do you think was top, as in the best, as far as transparency is concerned within the real estate market? Which country, Ludmilla?
Well, I'll offer a biased opinion, the United States.
Okay, Mike?
Yeah, I don't know what the terms of reference are, but I would have said UK or US.
Right.
I couldn't think of any more than that.
So what do you think? 4001, let us know. It's I think it's really interesting, and I think this is something that haven't we spoken about so often on this very show, transparency, transparency, transparency. And I know that Craig is going to sort of delve into a lot more detail about this report, talking about as the criteria, as Mike mentioned, talking about the various different countries, those, and the role of sustainability, which I thought was quite interesting within it. And lots more. So what are the four main forces that drive further progress in transparency?
And also interesting to hear our listeners' views as to, you know, their reaction to that sort of statement, you know, when they hear Dubai is ranked highly on, or Dubai Real Estate highly on transparency. I mean, what do you feel?
Well, let me tell you where it does rank, actually, if I may. Just one second. It's quite hefty, this report, so I'll find my page. Okay, there were, I believe, 97 countries in total. And the UAE, well, I should say Dubai, because it's broken down to Dubai and there's Abu Dhabi and Dubai at different levels. Dubai is number 47.
Yes, and the transparency levels have increased 80%.
So it comes into semi-transparent. The Abu Dhabi was 52, Bahrain 63, Saudi 64, Lebanon 66, Qatar 72, Oman 74, Iraq 91.
And I think it's very good progress, actually, because you've got to think, and again, you know, people forget this, in what was it, 2003, this market didn't exist. So in 8-9 years, they've halfway up the ladder already. I think that's pretty good.
It's just the reality.
Yeah, it is the reality. And if you start a market in 2003 and you've already caught up with half the world's countries, That's not bad going. I mean, you know, yes, it can always be better, we know that, but you know, that's not bad going, and I think they're doing an awful lot to get more transparency. It's just taking time because you're trying to catch up with a market that's already run ahead of you. And that's you know, it's never easy catching up with something.
A couple of texts from listeners, thank you for those. One of our listeners says New Zealand. Another one says the US. I'll tell you the answer in probably a few minutes when we come back. Question for you, actually, as well, Ludmilla. I'm not sure if you're reading that.
Yep.
We've actually got about a minute or so. I'm not sure if you want to sort of get straight into that.
Sure. Hi, we have a Manazela property, Al Reef Contemporary, which is 18 months late. Clause 4.1 in contract states that
they can be eight months late
with no compensation. Spoke with them today, and they say they will only offer compensation if we take them to court. Can they really enforce this when the contract is very, one second,
I can't open clear. All right.
Well, yes, they can. They can do this only because a contract is only as good as if you know, one or the other party actually complies with the terms of that contract. In other words, you know, unless the developer here agrees to act as per the contract, i.e., you know, to compensate for the delay, then you know the only way to enforce that contract is you know unless they voluntarily do so is through court, unfortunately, and that's basically you know why they responded the way they responded. I mean, should they respond that way? Obviously, you know, we would like to see better business practices from developers, especially you know those sort of developers. But the reality is such that most developers today do not offer voluntarily offer any sort of meaningful compromise unless you know without a court action. And you know we've spoken in detail about the risks and you know the pluses and minuses of doing so, and the costs associated with filing a court action and the time involved and sort of relying on that developers. That's why developers have chosen the path of you know waiting for those who actually are desperate enough or determined enough to actually file a case with the court, right. Knowing you know the costs and the time involved, you know, and that's just unfortunate. That's the reality and. There isn't really much more you could do. You know, the hope well, obviously is if you know, they are that reluctant to compromise or settle today, then at least you know when you do file a case with the court that you know because they will have to respond, they'll have to pay for lawyers to represent themselves in court. So you know, hopefully that may serve as leverage for them to actually come to the table and offer some sort of before actually the case is tried and you know and appealed.
So what would you say? Just go try and do it anyway.
You know, I mean. I would say, you know, try again, you know, have them submit to you in writing that they, you know, first of all, if the contract is as clear as you say it is, then you give them a legal notice terminating contract and requesting the refund as per the language of the contract. So you have now an official sort of formal cancellation and request for refund relying on the contract. And, you know, if they don't respond, then you can, you know, do a follow-up letter you know, basically stating that you will be going to court unless they try to settle with you. Right. And then if that fails as well, then you file a case with the court and see how it proceeds. And obviously the hope is that you will not have to see the whole case tried and that they will settle it before then.
Well, I hope that's been some help to you. Thank you very much, Ludmilla. Keep those questions coming. 4001 is our text message number. If you've got any questions at all, Tony says in Zimbabwe it's so transparent that it's invisible, meaning the real estate transparency.
And the economy.
Malaysia has the highest transparency in real estate. No. Let me see if Malaysia is in there, though. I'm sure it is. I'll see if I can find where Malaysia ranks when we come back. We're going to go to our first break of the hour, and we will be back after this.